The one thing I knew by then is that I need to understand the software side of the house. And that's why I entered computer science. And I knew that US was the best place. And I had committed both to my parents and my, you know, wife-to-be then and my in-laws that I was actually going to go stand up on my own feet and then only marry. And my mom and dad, still I recall, they were like shocked when I told them about this.
This is the Indian Nest Podcast, stories of success from leaders and change makers of Indian origin. Why have Indians achieved success across so many different disciplines around the globe? I have no idea, but let's find out together by talking to them, because every story is unique. I am very excited to have Ravi Pendakanti with us today. He's the Senior Vice President of Product Management and Marketing at Western Digital, a large technology storage company. He's also been in senior leadership roles at Oracle and Dell Technologies. He also sits on the boards of several companies. I invited him on this show as I was fascinated by his journey from helping build large companies to advising others how to do it. Welcome, Ravi. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on our podcast.
Thanks, Sanjay. It's great to be here with you.
Wonderful. Ravi, our show basically chronicles the life journeys, the inflection points of change makers, leaders like you. And for us to really chronicle that, we kind of have to start at the very beginning and sometimes even before the beginning. But let's start with the very beginning. Tell us and our listeners, where were you born and about your parents?
I was born back in a state called Andhra Pradesh in India. And, you know, my parents obviously both hail from the same state. I say that since some of our listeners might have folks they know, people from different backgrounds from different parts of the country. Certainly, you know, it's been great being raised by my mom and dad with certain values that I cherish a lot with my brother.
Just to get a little more specific, where Andhra Pradesh is a big state, actually it was so big they made two pieces of it or two parts of it. Where in Andhra Pradesh were you born?
Good question. Yes, that's true. First and foremost, Andhra Pradesh, as we know it today, has been divided into two, right? Andhra Pradesh and then Telangana. So I was born in Andhra Pradesh as in Kadapa district in a town called Vempalli, to be very specific.
How big is the town or how big was the town when you were born?
The town had no more than 8,000 people approximately. Really small town it was.
And what did dad do for a living, Ravi?
Dad was, you know, he was more into the agriculture side of the house. And so it is BS in agriculture and MS in agriculture again, and went on to work for a company called Indian Tobacco Company, ITC. Yeah, so he started his journey there and ended his journey there. So
he's alive. He was a lifer.
Yes, he was absolutely a lifer. And certainly, you know, I think those were the days, Sanjay, when I think, you know, most people, and I know when I talk to most of my uncles and, you know, our aunts that work, they would usually start in one place and end their careers in the same place, which is very different than, I think, the current environment that we live in.
So ITC, for our listeners who don't know, is a big multinational and a very well-known company. Before they were the Tobacco Corporation, then they rebranded, but they do a lot of other things now. Was he working for ITC in that town itself, or did you move from that town?
Yeah, so it's interesting he asked because, you know, he used to work for the tobacco side of the house. As you rightly said, ITC is probably one of the, you know, four or five largest conglomerates in India, which is into tobacco, cigarettes. They have the edible oils division, they have the hotels, the Welcome Group hotels, paper products, the whole litany of different industry they work in. But his role and, you know, took him to different, you know, parts of the country. And more importantly, I would say the states of Karnataka, Telangana, and Andhra, which is where it was typically based. And he would move quite a bit. And I recall him telling me that there was one year that mom and dad had to move 11 times. So basically, almost every month they were moved from one village to the other village. So it was a village move.
Wow. But You were not moving with them at that time, right? 11 times?
I actually, when I was a kid, I was, because I was actually homeschooled.
Till what time?
I was homeschooled till I was 10.
Unbelievable.
Years old.
Fantastic.
So my mom was my first teacher. My very first teacher was my mom.
Probably the greatest teacher you had.
Absolutely, 100%. So I was homeschooled for 10 years of my life. And only then, when I was getting into the fifth grade, did they put me into a formal school.
So they kept moving villages because dad was with ITC. I mean, what did you think? Because when you move, you were homeschooled, so it was not that big. But you still have to make new friends, get to know the new places. How was it like? I mean, I'm trying to visualize that. I have only lived in two places, but that's a whole separate story. How was that, Ravi? Tell us.
Yeah, I know my mom and dad would always tell me that, you know, I would obviously be not too happy that I was moving from one place to the others, because you by the time you really get to know your neighbors, you're moving to a different village. And I really give kudos to my mom, who always would tell me then that, you know, she would tell me something to the effect of, but your best friend is with you all the time. And in that case, it was my mom. She says, I'm here with you. Dad is here with you. And though my dad would actually have to go work in the mornings, come back in the evening, because he was working with the farmers in the villages. So he said, yeah, but you know what? Your best friend was with you all the time. That was our message. And I guess that also helped me and my mom develop a fantastic bond through, even to this date.
Wow. So would you say that you kind of got used to change during that process? I mean, you had no choice.
There was no choice at all. And again, I don't have very vivid memories because it's way back and I was still pretty young. And there was an incident that my mom would tell me, I think I was probably 6 or 7. And the only way I could make friends, new friends, was to talk to them about or show them my toys. And that was my way of building a friendship. And it's interesting you talked about, you know, the change stuff. Because he would say the best thing I did and I learned that then early on was to share things. And I would share because that's the only way as a kid I knew how to develop a relationship with another kid of my age. It was not about, you know, anything else other than toys. So she still believes, and I do too, that sharing ability probably was inculcated due to that very specific reason, Sanjay.
Well, I'm just trying to visualize that. Now, were the languages and customs the same in the villages? Because you were doing Karnataka, Andhra, etc. Yep. Were there any kind of differences in terms of language? Telugu was all across, or how was it?
No, it's actually Telugu and Kannada.
Kannada.
I mean, Andhra Pradesh then only had Telugu.
Telugu.
Karnataka had Kannada, and which is why I picked up Kannada too. And so I can, you know, I could have a conversation with folks. And I can even now. I might not be as fluent. So I learned both, you know, both those languages. And then, of course, when I went into my formal school, which is the Hyderabad Public School in Hyderabad, and I went to the boarding school because they didn't want me to move. They said, this is enough. It's getting very difficult. And that's when my mom and dad decided to put me into boarding school for fifth grade. And then, of course, I naturally picked up other languages, including Hindi and Sanskrit. Yeah, it was kind of a fun way of learning new languages.
New languages. And most people, a lot of people don't know that the differences we have and kind of adjust to food, culture, etc. We go from one part of India to another. But that was incredible. Now, you are being homeschooled and thought this was kind of normal. I mean, in the US, homeschooling is very prevalent, but not so much in India.
Yeah.
And mom was a good teacher. What was she teaching you? Was she languages, math, etc.? How did she know what to teach you, Ravi? Because I've not had any guest on our podcast, and we've had many who has been homeschooled. So tell us a little bit about what was it like?
Everything I remember, I mean, she used to predominantly teach two things. Obviously, English as a language, because she felt that I had to learn that language. And she was my first teacher, both for languages, including my own mother tongue. But then math was something else she would teach me. And I recall, you know, when I talk to her these days, she didn't focus too much on sciences. And that's when she realized that it was important that, you know, when I came to the fifth grade, that, you know, we had to be, you know, schooled in sciences too. But she did give me a good foundation, both in languages and mathematics. But sciences was not her forte.
What was her background that she was able to teach you so well? Tell me a little bit about her.
Yeah, I mean, what is fascinating in all this, Sanjay, is she actually did not get a degree herself.
A formal degree. I mean, she's got many degrees. She's got many degrees, but not a formal degree.
Not a formal degree. Absolutely right. And she actually studied only till the 10th herself. She got married very young. But to date, you know, I tell my wife, I tell my kids that probably the strongest lady that I know is her. And so she basically learned stuff because she had no other choice but to teach me. And my brother was just 2 years behind me. And even for my brother, she was the first teacher.
And so you got homeschooled for a period of time?
Yes. He's 2 years younger to me. So till he was 8 years old. Yeah.
Wow. Mom was a family maker, not a homemaker. I call it a family maker.
That is, actually, you said it very well. She was the family maker. I mean, not just a homemaker. And, you know, my dad, my brother, and me, I think all three of us owe her a ton of gratitude for, she was the rock of the family.
Wow. Now, dad was busy in his work all the time, going from village to village. How was your relationship with him?
My dad, I mean, interestingly, he would, you know, he would come back late in the nights. He would drive, you know, to different villages. And as you probably know, there are farms all around the villages those days. And it was not like they had great roads. So anything that you and I can probably think, you know, 20 miles out here, you probably can cover in 20, 25 minutes. Of course, if you're in the valley, it's a different story. It might take an hour, hour and a half. But given the roads out there, it would take much longer. And then he has to spend the time sitting and educating the farmers, because that was the whole thing. Because there was no other means to educate farmers on how do you grow the crop? How do you tend to it? What fertilizers to apply? And, you know, when do you do it? When do you water it? When do you harvest your tobacco, put it in the barn, and so on and so forth? So I recall he would come back very tired. But the one thing he would do is, you know, any few bits of time he had, he would absolutely sit down with me and my brother. And he actually taught me spellings. And I still recall to this day, the way he would teach me and my brother is fascinating on how he would taught us spellings. I mean, I still remember vividly on how he would tell us to, he would give us a word, right? And then ask us to break it into pieces. And that's how I learned. I didn't know how else to do it. Wow. As an example, you know, interwell. And he would say, how do you spell it? Int. Okay, I-N-T. And that's the way he would spell it out well. And it was fascinating. And he was great at math too. So he would reinforce and come back and, you know, teach us and reinforce some of the things. So mom would do it. And then he would quizzes. And spellings, he was too good. And even to this day, I mean, he's probably one of the best I know in terms of spelling.
No wonder Indians kill on spelling bees, man.
I agree.
So it's kind of ingrained in us. But one question I had, I was thinking, mom did not get a formal degree, but she was teaching you English and she was thinking further down because she thought that's going to be important. How was she doing that though?
This is, I don't know. So you might remember this, Sanjay. And I think a lot of, listeners from India might remember. There used to be these books for in India, 30 days to learn a language. 30 days, no, Hindi in 30 days, Telugu in 30 days. I still remember she used to have that book in English.
Wow.
So she
educated herself and then
imparted it to us. That's exactly what she did. And I still remember, I don't know if you recall this, 30 days, used to have language in 30 days.
Yeah.
What she would do. She bought that book and she would learn and then she would come back. For the record, she was not trained in English. She did it just for us. And that was so I still remember having those books and I'm like, wow, this is interesting. And the other thing she would do was, I still remember the Amar Chitra Katha comics.
Yep.
Oh my goodness, God. Every time we would go to a big city like Mysore, back in Karnataka, we used to go to the bookstore and get the Amar Chitra Katha comics. So one for me, one for my brother, we would share. And that was a fascinating way. And it still continues to be a great learning experience for us then, because it was all, it was cartoons. And I know.
But the imagination started.
You started there. Yeah. And I still treasure those, because then she got all those bound. I still probably have about 7 of them, with about 20 of them still bound and back home in Hyderabad.
Wow. I have to say this. I mean, we do this a lot, but your mom's an amazing lady. I have to say that.
She is.
She didn't have a Stanford education, but she produced. Just look what she did. But she also knew her limitations. That's where, when at the 5th grade, she says, I don't think I can take him very far, because it's very hard to know your limitations sometimes.
Yes, absolutely. And
amazing. So she said, now you need to go to a proper school. And you went to this HPS Hyderabad public school. Is that what was decided? And how was that experience for you? Just because homeschooling to going out there and obviously use the bribe of toys to kind of get into it. But how was that experience? Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and that was boarding school, Sanjay. And
it can be tough, man.
It was very tough. And then, but I do know, and she prepped me well in advance, both mom and dad, and said, you're going to be on your own and we're not going to be there. And then she flipped it so very beautifully. I still recall the first day I was there. She said, look, you know what? You and I have been the best friends for so long. But the beauty of what you're going to do now is you will now have a chance to build up more best friends. And the way you're going to do it is you're going to be in the school. And like you and I are very close now, you will actually build those friendships. And, I said, well, I'm going to miss you, mom. I'm going to miss you, dad. And I still recall them saying, you know what? It's only a couple of months. Then you're going to come home and then you can tell us everything that you've done and stuff. And you can also write to us and I'll write back. And that's what we did. And I still recall with that. I said, oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, I didn't know any better. I went into the school and I said, hey, mom and dad have told me that I'm not going to make other best friends. So, and that was honestly one of the best things that my mom and dad did. Undoubtedly, because
really, why?
Undoubtedly, I mean, they nurtured us enough and they gave us the protection, they built the strong bonds. And to this day, Sanjay, there's not a single day not a single day goes by that I don't call my mom and dad.
Wow.
And not one day goes anywhere in
You're
the world.
A great son, man. I need to learn from you, but anyway, sorry.
No, not at all. Though I think all of us have that right tendency to go build on. Want to make sure that we are there for each other. But to this day, I do that. And I think the fact that it feels like, at times I feel like I was the little bird, when in the nest, and you actually see how the mom comes and feeds the little birds. And if not, you've heard about it. And then they flutter their wings and go. But they give them enough of protection. They give them enough of confidence and enough of skills to actually survive. And that's what happened. And I only went to one school. Amazingly.
Wow.
So all those, so I started in the 5th grade in the Hyderabad Public School, and I finished my 12th grade in Hyderabad Public School. Only one school. No school changes. And that by far is the best school anywhere in the world.
But tell us, how was your experience academically and then from a social standpoint, and then were there any sports involved? Because all of these things make you who you are, and that's what we are trying to figure out.
No, absolutely. It's interesting you ask, because sports was a big part of it. So, I started off, as I said, in the 5th grade, and back in the school at 5 a.m., we used to have the bell being rung and we all had to get up and be ready by 5:30. I'm sure you heard this story from us. And then at 5:30, you go out and you're out in the field for 6. And that's where the discipline comes in. Every day you get up and 6 o'clock, you're out. Then you come back after about a half hour, you freshen up. And then you have what we used to call as a prep time for an hour.
Yeah.
Right. And before that, I still remember, very vividly, you know, glass of milk and a boiled egg.
Yep.
And now I think about it, why? And then I say, oh my God, that was protein.
Protein, nutrition.
Yeah. Yes, it was very nutritious. And then we would study for an hour. And then we would go back and have a breakfast, which was awesome again. We used to have bread and butter and jam. And there was a curry that was made with bread, believe it or not. And then there was another egg given to us.
Wow.
And then we would go into the school. And there are other school students who would come from outside, the day scholars, call them. And then we'd have, you know, our lunch break. Then in the evening, every day it was mandatory for everyone to be out playing sports for an hour.
And which sports did you play?
I used to play, you know, I used to be the athletics captain by the time I finished this. And then I used to play hockey for the district. And my goal, of course, was to wear blue, but never happened or because of injuries. But that was my real goal, Sanjay.
Really?
Absolutely. I would have
For hockey.
And then Dian Chung, I don't know if you recall.
Of course.
Great.
He's the man, the GOAT, they call the greatest of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So he was my, you know, that's what I was aspiring. And then, I got injured right above my eye, so I could go back in. And then in athletics, I used to, you know, we used to have the, you know, the field events and the track events. Then I used to have, you know, I had the shot put record then.
Wow.
We used to go for the pentangulars, the big five schools, and, you know, we used to compete with other schools. I mean, it was a fascinating journey. And by the way, that still comes on even to date, just FYI.
And how?
I still am out in the open in my free time.
So you are a very sports inclined person. You are
100%
outdoors kind of a person.
100%. Any day you ask me to go out and do this, I will be out there. I do 14ers to date. That's anything over 14,000 feet. I've done a few of those.
Wow.
You know, just as a great example, I live in the Bay Area. Last Friday, just a week ago, for example, I took a day off just to be out in the open and did our version of rim to rim, which is about 19 miles and 5,000 feet elevation gain. So, you know, do my own versions of hikes, runs, bike riding.
Wow.
And it's the best way to liberate and de-stress. You know, it's a great way to meditate, actually. Think about it.
That's a good point. It's a great way to meditate because you're by yourself, there's no distraction, and you're focused. Ravi, a lot of our guests have said, I want your opinion. Sports teaches you a lot. Obviously,
yes,
I presume it helped you make friends, but teamwork, competitiveness.
Yes.
So what did it teach you? Tell our listeners a little bit about you were in hockey. What did hockey teach you, if anything?
It did. You know, fascinatingly enough, you actually hit it. It actually teaches you to be somebody who knows that it's only teams that win. So you can play any position. And I still say this to, you know, a lot of folks around. I say, everyone needs to know how to work with others, play obviously in the team.
Yeah.
You cannot also play somebody's role. My point is, I'll take let's say we talk about football.
Right.
American football. You need to have one great quarterback. What you don't need is four people on the team, per se, being great quarterbacks. No, you need to have everyone play the positions. So you got to be good at what you do. At the same time, you need to know how to work with others. That's the beauty of sports, any sports.
Yeah, it helps if you're Patrick Mahomes, but that's a whole different
that's
story.
That's right. That's a whole different story.
But your point is that teamwork is critical in life, no matter what you do. And you picked up some of that. Does sports also teach you humility in some ways? Because there could be others who are better than you too.
Yeah, it teaches you. It teaches you teammanship. It teaches you how to play your role. A lot of times, again, I mean, I reemphasize that because it's important to play your role. And look at it in the work environment. You might have opinions on other stuff, but it's more important that you're good at what you do, right? You have to be really good at what you do. Right. And then also work with the others. And then you absolutely have to know that you don't win every day. You just don't win every day. And that's where the humility part comes in. that you learn and you grow from it. You have to learn to grow from it because winning and losing is part of everyone's journey. And you learn a lot more actually when you lose than when you win, I think.
That is true. To come back, get back up. So Ravi, then that was a pretty full thing. Hockey was there. You built some good friends also at HPSI.
Yes, we do. We have some. And the beauty, Sanjay, is, and we still stay in touch.
WhatsApp group?
100%.
Hey, we need to contribute to Mark Zuckerberg's wealth. I mean, India.
Yes, exactly.
They see people contribute a lot.
I mean, WhatsApp has been awesome. And in fact, and the other thing we do every 2 years, as a school have been, you know, we have our get-togethers. And again, at least back for Hyderabad Public School, I'll plug in and say, here in the U.S. itself, you know, every 2 years we get together. We have started doing it for about the last 5-6 years now.
Wow.
And every 2 years we do it. And on an average, we have had about 100 people come, which is awesome.
Wow.
And
wow. But not from your batch. They could be from across.
It could be other guys. Yes, yes. Yeah. Because people have, you know, their conflicts, there may be their other personal commitments. But the fact of the matter is, at least from my own class, about 7 or 8 of us meet. Yes, we do. I mean, face-to-face. WhatsApp is awesome. Don't get me wrong. And we thrive on it because we keep each other updated. Yes. But at the same time, nothing still beats a face-to-face.
That I agree. So you built some very good friendships. How was the academics at HPS?
I mean, academics at HPS, I mean, I still think it is one of the best schools anywhere.
Really?
Anywhere on the planet. I mean, think about the kind of people HPS has created for the world. I mean, I still think, again.
Well, you or one.
No, but there are people who have done really great things in the world. And again.
For example?
This is a selfish, very selfish plug for HPS.
Okay.
I'm proud of folks who have come from HPS. I mean, if you look at Satya Nadella.
He's from HPS?
Of course.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Look at Shantanu. He's from HPS.
Shantanu is also from HPS.
Of course. I mean, so I take pride. I mean, I could go down the list. Ajay Banga, he's from HPS.
No way. Ajay is also from.
He is HPS, right? If you look at Venkatapathy Raju, who was one of the best cricketers, I mean, he's HPS. My point is, I mean, if you look at the Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh, he's from HPS, right? If you look
at. So it's a pretty prestigious school, though.
It is.
Tough to get into.
Yes, it was very tough because he had an entrance exam to write.
So you had to write an entrance?
Yes.
And you got in and all that other stuff, obviously.
Yeah. So, and the joke within some of us is it's much, you know, IITians, people talk about IITians as
it. Of course.
IITians is easier, but the real thing is being HBS.
HBS.
Again, I'm as I said, you know, I have to have a.
You're a proud HBS, and that's good. Hey, those are the best memories and those are the foundations. But they focus on a well-rounded person, not just hardcore studies. It's sports. It's all those things, which is very good. Good to know.
It is the most well-rounded education you can get.
Wow.
And, you know, it's a fantastic set of, you know, schooling. And it's, again, when we think about doing well in life, is just not being great at your studies. It's not just being great at sports. I mean, there's so many other things. There are interpersonal skills that you've got to build. You know, what good is an IQ, having good IQ when you don't have good EQ, for example?
You think that's very important?
100%. I absolutely believe it's important that you just, you know, focus on, you know, just one element of it. It's not good enough. You have to go. Because life is a sinusoidal wave, Sanjay. There are ups, there are downs. Mm. And I think each and every one of us has experienced it at some point in time. Right? The highs are never going to be highs. The lows are never going to be lows. But how you manage between your highs and lows and how you work through it, I think is very crucial.
That's an excellent point. An excellent point. Ravi, let's say you were in the 12th grade. Things are coming to an head. What was going through your mind in terms of where to go next and where did you go from there?
Yeah, I mean, this is where, you know, like most parents, I think my parents had given me options too. And their options, they said, is, son, we'll give you a couple of options. And you can either be an electrical engineer, or a mechanical engineer, or you can become a doctor. Honestly, those are the three options. Like everyone else, it's engineering or doctors. And of course, in engineering, they give me two options. I didn't know any better. And I didn't know of the existence of so many other, you know, fields that I think I learned of later. But I just chose to be an engineer only because I was not too good at
being a doctor.
So I knew. So that's essentially the only thing I did. And I didn't know anything else, any better. So that's what I did. I said, okay. That's how I chose engineering.
Ravi, on our show, if you listen, you'll know that I talk about in India, we have a two profession and a two grade rule. Doctor and engineer and an A+. Those are the only options.
100%, Sanjay. And that was, I know I was chuckling when I answered your question because I think that's what most of us knew. And it was all, you know, it's like, okay, you can do either of them. And there was nothing else.
Yeah. And you picked engineering. So where did you go and what happened? Tell us.
So I went into the Kakati Institute of Technology and Science in Warangal, Kids Engineering College, as we called it. Mm-hmm. And I chose to do electrical. And it's also fascinating. I had a choice. I recall that was, again, as you know, most of the time it's all, you know, entrance exams. And then you get called in and then you pick, mm-hmm. you know, school and what faculty and stuff where you want to join or, you know, what line. I still remember very vividly, I was actually had an option between electronics and instrumentation and mechanical. And I was leaning in on mechanical. I didn't know much about electronics those days. And so my dad was with me. So there's this one other, I would say, gentleman was there with his kid. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to make this car. Maybe I should take mechanical engineering. So my dad then said, well, why don't we ask the gentleman? They were in the line. So we asked the gentleman, what should we take? So he asked me one very simple question. He said, do you want to work in air-conditioned rooms or do you want to work in the boiler room? My answer in flip of a second was, I want to be in air-conditioned room. He said, take electronics. That's how I joined electronics.
Because that's inflection point in your life.
That was an inflection point in my life.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have been probably a mechanical engineer by now. But that was a perfect inflection point in a matter of a second. The only question he asked, he didn't ask about what I like. The only question he asked me, do you want to be working in an air-conditioned room or do you want to work in the, you know, in the boiler room? That was the question he asked.
Wow. Unbelievable. And people think all kinds of strategies go through all of that, but that was a great strategy that you went through. So you picked electrical, which obviously was very fortuitous. So how was that experience going to college from HPS, going to Warangal? Very different, right?
Very different. It was very different. And that is the other interesting thing that happened to me, Sanjay. Mm-hmm. It was my very first day of college, mm-hmm. my very first day. And we were all in college. We didn't know anybody else because everybody came from different places. So
from all over India? From all over India or just local?
By and large, it was Andhra Pradesh.
Andhra Pradesh, okay.
Right. So, and there were some from other parts of India, don't get me wrong, but I would mm-hmm. say probably 90% from
Andhra,
right? Mm-hmm. So from other parts of Andhra Pradesh. So we didn't know any better. And we were all, you know, trying to get to know each other, making some small talk. And then we were pulled into, you know, the engineering drawing room, if you recall, we used to have, at least, you know, big hall where you would sit and then they would call everybody you name by name, check on the other stuff and tell you what's your roll number, so on and so forth. Yep. We were sitting there and then they called the name of a girl who was right in the back. And there were not too many girls then, honestly.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, when they called her name out, the room was quiet because nobody knew anyone else. And this was the first day we were all well behaved. Which is not the case, of course, if you were there.
Yes.
So we were all quiet and all of a sudden I hear trinklets, bell. I said, what? So quiet. So I just look behind and there is this girl in the most traditional, you know, attire with anklets to her feet walking by. I didn't know her name. I didn't know what she did or what her likes and dislikes. I looked at her once and I said, that's the girl I'm going to marry.
Wow.
That was another inflection point.
Now, another inflection point and a scene from a Bollywood movie too, so
yeah, to speak. It seems like these days. I tell my kids this. By the way, I'm happily married to her for
of course
years now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And that's the other interesting thing that, you know, it just happened on my very first day.
Without even knowing anything about her.
I had no idea. I didn't even know her name because I missed. I was just in my own world trying to look at it. I just saw her and I heard her name. I just saw her walk by and I said, wow, she's in the most, you know, she seems to be the perfect person for me. So that's how my college career started. And as you can imagine, from that day, it's a different story that she didn't care for about me for the first 2 years, but I did care. Yeah. And that made my, you know, 4 years of engineering just be fabulous because all I cared about was, I think I had a mission in life more than my degree. I think my mission in life is how do I get to go marry this girl? So Sanjay, mind again, there was no planning.
Yeah, it was totally worth those 4 years. Now, obviously,
100%.
Impact on grades, we will not discuss because you are focused on mission.
I had a mission. And by the way, because of that, it actually had a positive impact because by the time I was not too bad a student, but she was one of the toppers. So she was
really
one or two. So my task was not to do badly because I can't afford to do badly. So it was a motivating factor. Otherwise, I would have been a backbencher.
You needed to impress somebody. So
I had a mission in life as to now I can't be in there and just, you know, goof off. And actually, that's where I think I become more studious and serious in my career, in my life.
At that point.
And then, of course, as you can imagine, I, you know, by the time we finished the fourth year, we talked, and she said, you got to come and talk to my parents. I'm not talking to them. Oh. And I said, okay. So I did go on my final week of leaving the college. I did go approach my
future in-laws
and told them that, you know, I'm so-and-so. And they knew about me because I was very much into extracurricular activities. Mm-hmm. And even from the first year of engineering, you know, I would, you know, represent the college and debating, elocution, you know, quiz and stuff. So they actually had seen me when they would come for the college functions I would be out there taking, so they knew about me. Then I actually did go and I talked to my mother-in-law to be then and then said, so I'm so-and-so and I would want to assure you that I'll be a good husband for your daughter. Like to, you know, make sure that you know about it. And which was, again, a fascinating experience because how often does it happen in India in those days to go?
The boy goes.
And
how old were you at that time, Ravi?
So this was end of the fourth year. I must have been about, what is it, in 1920? I now have to calculate.
Oh, my God.
So
pretty young.
I was pretty young. And
you're bold to go.
I had no choice. And that's the beauty of life. When you have no choices.
When your back's to the wall.
You have no other choice but to go do what you have to do. And even now, I'm like, oh my God, how did I do it? All my friends were kind of, they all knew I was going out that evening to go, for example. Mm-hmm. All my friends knew that. And they were like, boy, are you going to do it? I said, I have no choice. I have to do it. And because I knew I was also going to come to US for my master's.
So at that time you had decided?
Yes.
That you were going to go to the U.S. Why did you decide that?
For the simple fact that at that time, unlike my way of choosing how I chose my
master, electronics engine, yeah.
I was a little more smarter, not too much, but I knew that I had learned a lot of hardware stuff that way because electronics was into hardware. The one thing I knew by then is, that I need to understand the software side of the house. And that's why I entered computer science. And I knew that US was the best place. And I had committed both to my parents and my, you know, wife to be then and my in-laws that I was actually going to go stand up on my own feet and then only marry. And my mom and dad still, I recall, they were like shocked when I told them about this. They said, does it mean you're not going to study any further? And I said, no, we are going to both get our masters after that, I'll get a job and only then marry her. And that's exactly what we did. So she got her master's in India. I came here because I needed to do computer science. And Sanjay, at least, you know, even back those days, I never knew of a better place to get, you know, master's in computer science in the US, and for which I'm eternally grateful.
Firstly, just I'm trying to figure out the life lesson about motivation because of your now wife is have something that kind of is driving you, whatever it is. But then when you applied for your master's, which college did you come to for your master's, and how did you decide on this? What was the decision process?
So those days were not when we had internet. So I went to the British Library. We used to have the British Library, if you recall.
Of course.
And they used to have all these books on different, you know, schools in different countries. And and then back in school, there's one thing I have to tell you. Back in Hyderabad Public School, we used to talk about space shuttles those days and rockets and launching satellites.
NASA, by any chance?
NASA. And I was actually in my 11th grade that I actually wrote to NASA.
Wow.
And I said, I want to become an astronaut. If not, I want to become an aeronautical engineer. How do I do it? And they actually were very nice. They actually wrote back and sent some pictures and stuff. And that's when I knew there was a place called John F. Kennedy, you know, the Kennedy Space Center. So I recall going back into the British Library. They had a book of all the colleges. Again, no internet those days. So I looked for schools in Florida. And then I
closest to the Kennedy Space Center.
Exactly. And that's essentially how I picked Florida Institute of Technology, because that was the closest to Kennedy Space Center.
Wow.
And I didn't know anything else. And it was rated pretty high for aeronautics and for oceanography, not for computer science. But the fact that it was close to the Kennedy Space Center, that's the only thing I decided I'd go to Florida and I'll go to Melbourne. That was how I went to Florida.
Wow. And how was that experience landing in Florida from Hyderabad? Now Warangal. How was that? And did you come by yourself or you came with your now wife or soon to be wife?
No, I actually came on my own because she was actually enrolled to do her master's in India. She was going to stay back and be in India.
Until you got things sorted out. Yeah.
She was going to the REC, the Regional Engineering College, which is called NIT.
Yeah.
And, you know, she stayed back there. I decided to come here because I needed to do my computer science. Yeah, it was a huge cultural change for me. It was probably a big shock in a lot of ways because I still recall it was simple things like, and I came and, you know, this was probably my second day. So somebody said, hey, do you want to go play football? I said, sure, let's do it.
Soccer. Sure.
It was, yes, it was football for them. It was soccer. I thought it was soccer.
Soccer, I know.
And I was like, wait a second. This can't be true. This is, how is this football? Because you're handling the ball with your hands and it's not really football. And this, oh, no, you're talking about soccer. I'm just taking that as a quick example of how I was in for a pretty raw, you know, I would say a wake-up call that this was extremely different than what I thought it was. And then I recall going into, you know, my classes and addressing, you know, my professors as sir. And then I was corrected a few times saying, you don't have to call me sir. You know, those niceties that we were taught, right?
Yeah.
And of course, driving on, you know, the different side of the road or, they were all different, and it took me quite a bit. That was a cultural shock for me because a lot of things that I'd only read about, but once you're back in there experiencing it, was very, very different for me.
How are the academics?
Academics was, I mean, this is in back in my school, even in engineering colleges, I don't think I studied as much, but this is where I think I felt like I had to do something to making sure that I kept my word to my parents and my, you know, fiance then, that we were going to do it. I don't think I've ever worked hard as then. I absolutely, and that was my, I think that was a pivotal shift in how my attitude to work changed tremendously. I don't think I've ever looked back from that. It still carries on in me that, You know, there's no, you can ask for all the luck you want, but which of course I still would love to be luckier than smart, but there's nothing that actually helps you in life as much as, you know, put into it. I was actually a very good student then. I can't say the same about my high school or my college, but that's when I absolutely was doing pretty well, top of the class. And then I was working really hard. I would put in a lot of hours into my, you know, my studies. I never even knew about languages, as in computer languages, programming. And the beauty of that was also, I noticed I was not alone though. That was the beauty when I came in. Yeah. I recall being sitting in the lab doing my coding and stuff. Oh my God, that was where it was beaming. I mean, I would see people at 12 o'clock, 1 a.m. in the morning, well, 12 people were studying. And that's when I think it struck me that there are so many other folks like me who are all wanting to do the best they can, yes, in from all parts of the world. And I had never seen so many nationalities represented ever, because that was new for me, Sanjay. I mean, and you know,
but that's the beauty of this country too.
That is absolutely
amazing beauty of this country.
Amazing beauty. And that's where I think, and as I said, I have nothing but gratitude for what, you know, US has done. And I'm proud to say that, you know, it's a land I call my home. Kids are born here. But that was a fascinating experience.
So there was a shift that you suddenly became very serious at that point, because you were on a mission at that time, basically.
Very much. Very much.
So when you graduated, what happened? Let me just walk us quickly through that process.
So when we graduated, then, you know, my wife to be, or my fiance was in India. I knew that at times I actually had a penchant to do more. I became more studious kind. I said, I should probably do a PhD. And I then realized that I didn't pay attention. I didn't even write the IITs. I didn't even exam them. I was so much into sports and other things. Right. Thankfully, I wrote the other state exam. That's how I got an engineering. And then I came at FIT, not knowing about other stuff, because I was so zoned into, you know, the Kennedy Space Center. And I said, my God, maybe I should do my PhD from a premier institute. And then I applied, and then I knew to, if I get married, to come to get my wife then back into the US was going to take a long time, because then there was a waiting period for the visa process and all that. So I actually applied, and then I came to know about this institute called National University of Singapore, one of the top rated universities.
It is.
And I got accepted for doing a PhD program there.
At the National Institute. Wow.
Yes.
It's a very prestigious institute for people.
Very prestigious institute. I said,
one of the best in the world.
Yes, sir. And that's when I said, because I knew I didn't pay a lot of attention, but then, you know, I said, this is the time for me to do it. I also wanted to go and be closer where I could also, I had two choices, two things. I needed to accomplish getting into a prestigious institute, and it had to be outside the US so that I could marry and get my wife to join me. Singapore fit the bill very well. That's when I put all my focus and got my admission there. So that's how I went to
Singapore. So you moved back to Singapore for your PhD?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
I did.
Wow.
But I didn't get my PhD. My story doesn't end there.
Okay. So but you went there though?
Yes, I did. I did. I went there. Uh-huh. And
fought in what though?
PhD in electrical engineering.
Okay.
So it's going to be semiconductor design and stuff.
Wow.
Then when I got there, I you know, they had a joint relationship between National Instruments, if you recall. They were
National Instruments, big conductor company.
Facility. And then the Chartered Semiconductors in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
So when I landed there, you know, I didn't know that. But prior to going there, they said, you have to sign a bond that, you know, you have to be in the country for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
I've come all the way from U.S. I left U.S. because it was tough to go back then too.
Yeah.
But I said, I can't sign this bond. They said, we understand. And they gave me 30 days. Right. So I went out then, applied for jobs within Singapore. And I went applying for jobs in some of the multinationals. And I got offers from two companies. I think HP, Hewlett Packard, and DEC. Two large companies.
Yeah.
And then I chose.
This was DEC's heydays of Alpha, yes, Microwax, Alpha. Alpha.
Exactly right. And right. Those days was actually a little larger than HP by of a few $100 million. And I recall having a conversation with my dad. I said, Dad, what do I do? And then he told me something very profound. He said, he's a very learned person, rose to the ranks to become one of the biggest executives of ITC by the time he retired. And he was well-read. He had traveled and he heard about HP Way. And he said, son, I've never worked for HP, obviously, but I've read about HP Way, their open door policy and how the founders have inculcated that. I would recommend that you join HP. That's how I joined HP.
Oh, wow. Wow. But HP in Singapore.
Singapore. And that's how I joined. And then, and of course, a couple of years later, there was an opening in the US.
Oh.
I applied and then they moved me into the US. And that's how I've been back here ever since.
And to California?
To California.
And when you moved to California, was your wife with you at that time?
Yes, she was.
Okay. Because,
again, my whole goal was, I remember two things. Getting married, and I needed to go establish myself,
in the US.
And then, of course, the PhD thing didn't take off for those reasons.
Yeah.
But I did accomplish the other part, which is I got married to my wonderful wife, and we both together.
What a journey. And then, obviously, you went from HP to Dell, and now, obviously, you are at Western Digital. There's so many things that I would like to ask you, but let's just talk a little bit about some childhood memories. Are there a couple of childhood memories that stick to your mind?
Oh, sure.
And why? Just tell us briefly, what are your couple of more important childhood memories?
Absolutely. A couple of memories for me, very vivid memories, is we used to be, my dad was working, as I said, in Karnataka, and we used to work in a place called Hunsur, a small little town.
Yeah.
It's very close to a forest called Nagarhole. You might have heard of Nagarhole, Bandipur.
Yep.
Extremely beautiful.
Near town. Mysore, right?
Mysore.
Yeah, I know Mysore pretty well. Yeah.
So then, you and I should catch up offline. Our place, that's where I spent a lot of years. Hunsur is south of Mysore. It's a small little town.
Yeah.
And Nagarhole was just about 40 kilometers. So 30 kilometers we would drive. And every few weeks to a month, he would take us into the forest. And they were the days when we would take the elephant rides into the forest. I tell you, Sanjay, there is nothing more breathtaking in the world. I'll repeat, there's nothing more breathtaking in the world than being out with Mother Nature and spending your time there and just looking at what it has to offer. To that point, I was so much in love with that place, even now. And recently, of course, about a few years ago, I took my whole family there too. And my kids loved it. I mean, they were astounded by the beauty of what Mother Nature is.
Mother Nature.
I mean, and you go in, you've got elephants, you've got deer, you've got bisons, tigers. I mean, it's just beautiful. And that vivid memory, I still recall, we were in the forest guest house. We got up in the morning and brought... Kidding. In the morning, we get up at 6 o'clock or 5:30, thousands of deer right around the whole forest guest house, fog. And then you had the Mahout who would come with his elephant through the fog, walking through. It's so etched in my memory that to this day, I just feel enthralled, which is what I think still now. I said, I love hiking. I love going outdoors. That's the best way for me to de-stress. Maybe there's some connection there. Interesting. My family and I are going to go to Patagonia in a couple of weeks. And I just love anything to do with Mother Nature.
Mother Nature. For our listeners, do you think it helps rejuvenate yourself with being in Mother Nature? What do you think?
100% for me. 100% for me. There is nothing better I would love than if somebody wants to put me, torture me, the best place is put me in a bar in somewhere in the center of the city. That's the best way to torture me. But if you want to reinvigorate me, take me outdoors, be out there, and it'll reinvigorate me like nothing before.
Amazing. Ravi, you had an incredible journey, obviously. What is your definition of success, and has it changed over time?
Oh, it has changed for me. Undoubtedly. For me, success in the past used to be about money. It used to be about titles. And today,
you have a pretty good title right now.
Don't think I treat any of my colleagues with title. I don't. And at least personally for me, it doesn't. It's excite me as much as it's finding that peace and inner peace and balance. Sanjay, I definitely didn't have that notion. I absolutely did not. And today, you know, just being peaceful and happy is probably the most important thing. And I tell everyone around, my colleagues at work, my family, that if I can sleep with a clear conscience, that's most important for me. Being happy and being helpful, being kind, I think that's more important for me. And if I can find the balance, I'm good.
So that it has definitely changed over time. Ravi, a lot of our guests talk about the role of mentors in their life. Mentors come in all shapes, sizes, parents. I mean, I can talk about at least two big ones in your life. Do you think mentors are important for our audience to know?
The reason is they teach you something that the books don't teach you. Books can teach you a lot. Don't get me wrong. You learn a lot. When you actually learn from people's experiences, I think the learning is much deeper. And you want to be able to ask and get things out, right? What if we did this? Who do you speak to? Who do you talk to? That for me is a mentor. Your manager too, you can't have a candid conversation a lot of times, I feel. But with a mentor, you can ask things that are very difficult for you to bring up in a typical environment. And that's where I use my mentors.
Ravi, you still are so young and achieved so much. Where do you see, and I know it's very hard to predict in this uncertain world of ours, but where do you see your journey going from here, Ravi?
My journey from
here. Or where would you like your journey to go? How about that?
I mean, first of all, I don't know how successful I've been, but the one thing I do want to, in fact, I do that today, Sanjay. It's interesting even how things have changed even in the last 6-7 years for me. Mm-hmm. I used to and mentor some of the leaders in the Valley. But the last, what's maybe 3-4 years or 5 years ago, or maybe it's even less, maybe I've started mentoring kids in high school, which I think has been fascinating for me. So my point is, if they can learn now what I probably know now, I think they'll be better people than I ever could be, number one. And I've done the same thing. There's one thing, something else I'm doing now back in India. The one other thing that's not fascinated me, but it troubles me more. As a country of 1.3 to 1.4 billion people, the fact that we don't have great athletes on the international arena continues to trouble me, that we don't do well. I think as a nation, we've become a cricketing nation. Everything is, and we are talking right now in the middle of
World Cup. Coming up, finals coming up in 2 days.
Yes,
but anyway,
it will be a fun game to watch, buddy.
Yeah.
You'll be watching too.
Yeah.
So now I've started, you know, looking, and then, you know, right now I have one person that I've identified that I want to make sure that I give him all the support to see. He's an 18-year-old kid in India, to see if I can get him the right training and coaching to help one day do something that I could, which is wear blue. I still tell you, that's the thing. I still feel bad that I didn't wear blue. I've not worn that. And it's not about any titles in corporate world right now, but that's the one that still goes back to me, is that I didn't wear blue when I was a kid. I wanted to do it. So that's the piece that I'm, so my point is, I'm now looking to see if I can, you know, help train the 16 to 18 year olds, because they, I think, are in the midst of making some critical decisions in their life. And there are probably things I know better now than I knew before, that if I can go give that to them, I think I'd be happy. Again, as much as I advise companies, that's not my importance now again. It's actually the 17 and 18-year-olds that I want to see. Help them understand life and maybe do things that they would like to do but never knew where to go and who to ask and how to do it. I would love to be able to do that.
So basically, mentoring high school kids and helping our athletes in India maybe get better resources and go beyond being a just a cricket-only nation. Maybe win in other places. There's an Olympics coming up in LA now, so hopefully they'll win.
That's true.
Maybe some other medals. But that's a pretty good thought process. Now, we've taken you into the future. Just very briefly, let's take you quickly to the past. Let's pretend I am Ravi coming out of FIT. What would be the one or two things you could give advice, knowing what you know, to the Ravi coming out of Melbourne, Florida?
Given my circumstances, I've actually visited that part in my head quite a few times. And given my circumstances then, Sanjay, I don't think I would advise anything differently. You see why? Because I had this thing, I had to go back and get married to the love of my life. Right?
So
I had no options in that regard. But there's one thing that is in my own family way, right? For me, that was the most important thing. The one thing though, on the flip side, remember the fascination I had with a big name university that I have and I went and pursued?
Singapore.
And now I would say, that is not as crucial maybe. And I've told it to my kids. I'm very proud of two kids and, you know, God bless them with happiness, peace, and everything that they want to desire to win. But nowadays, I mean, as my kids were looking into joining universities, I said, choose not the brand, but choose what you want to do wisely. Go to a good school, but don't be fascinated by just the names. And that is the one lesson I've learned, is not to be fascinated by that, but definitely choose to do what you want to do. Pick what your safe zone is, what you're passionate about, and do that.
Well, that's great advice. People tend to focus on the MITs and Harvards, et cetera, which are great institutions.
Which are great. But, I don't have
against that. If you want to do that, would be great. Ravi, towards the end of our journey, we ask basically lightning round quick questions, very short answers if you can. Our show is called Indianness, so just give us a very brief definition, your definition of Indianness.
Indianness for me is, it's finding the peace and balance. And life is a journey, and you just have to find the peace and balance for yourself. Nothing beyond that.
So peace and balance for Indianness. One person, not family, living, could be in India or outside India, but of Indian origin, that you look up to, role model, look up to, etc. I have a feeling I know the answer, but tell me. Not family, remember. Not family and has to be living.
Absolutely. No, I'll tell you. Only name that I would pick up. It's not 2, 3, 4. There's no even close second for me. It's Kapil Dev.
Wow.
Yes.
83.
Oh, gosh. One day I'll have to talk about my fascination.
That's how we've got to discuss that. Have you seen that movie, 83?
I've seen that movie. I have met Kapil Dev too.
Oh, really?
I mean, ask my kid, they all know. Who is your big role model? I've seen my own parents, to your point. Kapil Dev. Undoubted. Wow. There's no close second.
Fantastic. I'm going to ask you one other question, about two, three other quick questions. But, and I kind of know the answer, but one person who's been the most influential in your journey. One. I have a feeling you want to put two, but one. And it's hard. It's hard.
Mom,
of course, I knew the answer to that. Yes. Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah, she's incredible. Is there a book or a movie that has kind of profoundly impacted you by any chance?
Oh, yes. If you know me by now, you probably know the kind of books I would read or what I like. Five People You Meet in Heaven.
Great choice.
It's a fabulous book.
Yeah, great choice.
And, I've not read as a greater book as that, I must say. There's no close second to.
Great. That's a great choice. Now, last question. You heard of Nike saying, just do it.
Yeah.
And there are other people's taglines. If Ravi had a tagline, what would that tagline be?
Kind man.
I completely agree with you on that. So with that, Ravi, thank you so much for your time, but also being open and letting us into your life and into your heart. So thanks again for doing this.
Sanjay, it's been a pleasure. And I feel like, going through this, I feel like I've been talking to a good old friend. And, you took me to areas that are very dear and close to my heart. And certainly appreciate the time. and the opportunity to share whatever little I could. Thank you.
And it'll inspire everybody. So thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Indianist Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review and subscribe to enjoy future inspirational stories.